Hare Krishna. One moment. Just one more. Never get old. This is all I can say.
The only way to avoid that is dying.
Yeah. And don't die early. That's also good. It's a contradiction of terms. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the closing session of our Holy Name retreat. We still have something very important to do. We are ending this and completing it. The patient now is lying on the surgery table. The operation is completed, but he needs to be closed. So the closure after a very eventful retreat, where so much happened to all of us, is very important, and I request your full-hearted participation in this. We will have a few items today. One is questions and answers, and also we have the happiest news which we can imagine. We will I will present it as a cliffhanger. Very happy news, very amazing news. Some of you will roll in the dust out of ecstasy. That is there, and then we will say goodbye from Giriraj by a special closing ceremony. But in order to start, it's good if we bring our experiences a little into the foreground of our awareness. And for this, we will have a workshop session of about 15 minutes, where we will build groups of five and then discuss in these groups a question. One moment. Good. Groups of five. We need to first build these groups. Please find now five devotees in your surrounding and build a circle-like construction with yourself.
Anyone.
It's anyone. And just turn around. If it's four or if it's six, no problem, but it should be around this number. And then I will give you your work to do in this group. Please do this quite quickly. It doesn't need to be super confidential people from the same street where you were born. It can be anyone. Good. Who has not yet found his group? Please raise your hand and look around if there are other. It's important that all of you participate in this exercise. Please don't think this is New Age retreat or seminar stuff. It is very important, as you will see in a moment, to bring what we have received to the foreground of our attention. The first question. What did I learn in this retreat? It can be an experience. It can be a point which came new to our life. It can be situational learning. That means you found yourself in a situation, maybe you wanted to just curse your taxi driver for being late, and then you stepped on a thorn and you learned, let me wish well to everyone, including the taxi driver. We look for something which we have learned, something which is new, and it would be nice if it is something in relationship to the Holy Name. This was the first question. I request you now to discuss this, and then I will ask you the second question. Please start now. Give everyone a chance to talk. It's about our realizations, our new jewels which we have found on the way. Anyways, Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Stay like in the groups which you were. Second question. Hare Krishna, some of you are still so absorbed in the realization discussion, but please keep your ears free to hear the second question. What can I take home? Home is my bad German word. This is not home. This is home. But what can I take into my other life? Let us call it the other life, the foreign life, the other life, the life which I'd have 11 months a year. What can I take from this realization and import it there? This question will help you to make a bridge from what you experienced here to how you will live there. It's important that the Govardhan retreat is not a bridge leading nowhere. It must be a bridge leading into our life. So what can I do, what can I take with me into my life? That's important. If some of you are not yet finished with the realization part and you're just ending it, you can pronounce your realization or look at your realization, because the two questions are really very much interconnected. They belong together. So, question number two, for 10 minutes again. What can I take from these realizations into my daily life? Please start now. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. No. So, Hare Krishna. Please don't forget this last question and the sharing which you had on it. We will now proceed to the remaining part of the questions and answers. Maybe I can request Ravi Lochan to bring this pot here, and Gopinath Prasad, maybe you can give this pot to our Bhujan Prabhu. Or should we mix the questions up? Maybe we should mix them up, because this is the Mataji pot and this is the man pot. So we should have them mixed.
Khitri.
Yeah, Khitri, yes. Maybe Ravi Lochan and Gopinath Prasad, you are intelligent young men. And stir them and impartially. good Khitri must be there.
Put in some turmeric.
As they do this, I want to say that some of our retreat participants left early this morning, for instance, Shamika Rishi, because they had planned their schedule like this. But I was Of course, not saying anything against this, but I really feel this last closing session, where we sit together as devotees who have all gone to the same type of experiences, only with different responses to it, individual responses. We need to spend this time together, and we will now most properly focus on some issues or subjects which are related to the immediate content of the retreat, the lectures, the guided workshops, or the kirtans and the japa sessions. And this is good if we just stir the subject up a little bit. So I will request our Bhujan Prabhu to draw the first question from his pot and then answer it. May I know, do we only have one microphone for the two of us?
I have my own. Oh, there it is.
Yes.
I wear mine.
Mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh.
See, and this one I shouldn't answer because it starts, you explained.
Then you can give it to me and there. It will be my question. Yes, so please take another one.
Dear Maharaj, no, that, we made that joke already. Is it Hare Krishna? Is it wrong to be attracted to Krishna and Dwarka more than Krishna and Vrindavan? And why, after so many years meditating and reading about Radha Krishna and their divine pastimes in Vrindavan, comes attraction for Krishna and Dwarka? Thank you. So, there. What's wrong is to think that you can be in both places. There are examples in Braj law. Law meaning L-O-R-E, the way that people talk about Braj of someone who...
History, yes.
History, yes, exactly. Thank you. Who... someone who wanted to serve in Vrindavan and then he became attracted to go to Dwarka. And then he went to Dwarka for a visit, and his relationship with Srimati Radharani was revoked for some time until he was filled with great separation. So, but that was an exception in one sense, and perhaps there was a lesson in it. But that's on a very, very, very high stage. That's a very high stage. For us, or me, on my much, much lower stage, just to be attracted to Krishna in any form is so much better than being attracted to the material energy, and that's the essence. So due to our birth, due to our mental predispositions, due to very much the modes of material nature, we may be attracted to different aspects of Krishna, but this isn't necessarily who we eternally are. So follow, if you're attracted to Krishna and Dwarka, you become attracted to Krishna and Dwarka, and how wonderful. And if your attractions to the realm of matter, they lessen, how wonderful that is. But if you're attracted to Krishna and Dwarka, and you get to put your ear by the door of Krishna's bedroom, and everyone tells you, don't go in because he's sleeping now. But if you listen very carefully while he's sleeping, you may hear him calling out, Radhe, 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 Radhe. But no, it's not a problem. I know one devotee, very interestingly, in 1971 or 72, we were together in Hong Kong, And he told, and I remembered him telling me at that time that he was much more attracted to Krishna's Dwarka pastimes. The Krishna book had just come out, and really none of us knew very much about Krishna, but the Krishna book had just come out. So he told me that he was much more attracted to Krishna's Dwarka pastimes than the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And then I didn't see him or for 35 years, maybe even 40 years. And then I saw him, and we were talking about just about things in Vrindavan and what he had done with his life and what I had done with my life. And I reminded him of that. You had told me that you were so much more attracted to Krishna and Dwarka back in 1970. He also used to, when he cooked, he would make green puris. He would put food coloring in. He was a very interesting devotee. But then he told me, but now things have changed. So, chalega, go. If you're attracted to Krishna and Dwarka, how fortunate. That's my answer to that question.
You explained there are only two spiritual entities. Why don't we count Tulasi Devi, Radha Kund, Syam Kund, Govardhan, etc. as spiritual entities? In the Harinam Chintamani, Srila Haridas Thakur makes this categorization. He says, in this world there are only two spiritual entities. One is the individual soul, and the second the holy name. And then he explains further how important it is to make these two meet. In this category of two spiritual entities, we do not find deities, Tulasi, Ganga Mai, Radha Kund, Syama Kund. Why is it reduced to only two spiritual entities and does not include all the others? In my mind, the explanation is that the holy name is fully Krishna, and he has come in a way that even a conditioned soul can appreciate the holy name when it is sung or chanted without offenses. So sometimes it is not so easy for a conditioned soul to immediately appreciate all the other spiritual entities, but the holy name is that form of the Lord which has come to really be chanted on the tongue of a conditioned soul, and it when it is done, it opens the door to appreciate all the spiritual entities. Imagine you would never have chanted Hare Krishna. How would you have seen Tulasi Devi or Radha Kund, Syama Kund, and so on? This holy name is therefore called Patita Pavana Nama, or the name which is the savior of those who are really fallen, especially in Kali Yuga. Thank you very much. We will request now Bhujam Prabhu to again give an answer.
How do we attain spiritual fulfillment while discharging our responsibilities in this material world? Do we have to forego our material ambitions while in spiritual life? Yes, we do. In other words, and no, we don't. The best example, of course, is Arjuna, who on the Battle of Kurukshetra risked to forego his Kshatriya duties, and Krishna told him, "No, but you do as I want. You are mine. You do as mama eva angsa jiva loke. You just become my servant. And in my service, what I want you to do is fight." So, on one level, Arjuna was simply a servant. And on another level, he was a warrior. So someone has a career that he or she is following, and part of the question is how to spiritualize that career and one's life, where one is practically speaking dealing with the material world and the material energy and material people and having that having bosses and things like that. And it's not easy to do this. And actually, Prabhupada didn't want the devotees to have to go through this type of association and tribulations. And therefore, for that reason, he wanted to establish self-sufficient communities where devotees wouldn't have to go an hour on a train or a bus or on a bicycle to work, coming and going, that they would live very, very simply off the land. So it's not easy, but yet so many devotees are forced into that position, so they have to work.
One of them is me. I have to answer a material call of nature and require your permission. In 2 minutes I'm back.
Yes.
I had to drink 50 liters of water this morning.
Okay. 2 rupees. So it isn't easy. Clearly it isn't easy. But yet we're in that position. So how to spiritualize our life and how to make the best use of a bad bargain or of a difficult situation. So there are so many devotees in that situation. It's such a nice topic to talk about with some of the with some of those devotees. How do you do it? What do you do to rise above matter and maya while living in the world of matter and maya? So it's such a good thing to talk about because so many devotees are in that, and in unity there is strength. And so those devotees will be able to give you more practical guidance than I can, because I'm not in that situation for so many years. But simple things I've seen devotees do. Of course, if you're making money, if you just keep it for yourself, then it's going to be very hard to spiritualize your material situation. Some devotees distribute prasadam in their offices, which has a danger if you share your food with someone and some materialistic character will want to give you some of their food. So that's a problem on that side. But some devotees do this they bring prasadam cookies or something like that to work. Another way is they pray to Krishna to send them someone who is open-hearted and open-minded that they can speak to about Krishna consciousness. So there are ways. Some devotees, some non-devotees keep earphones in all the time and they're listening to some whatever music they like or whatever. So devotees also sometimes they keep their phone plugged into kirtans and lectures, and there are many ways. And and just the essence, though, is to keep it in your heart who you are and what you want to accomplish in life, and don't sway from that identity. Don't get knocked from that identity. So does one have to forego one's material ambitions? So material consciousness, of course, we should desire to forego, but remain as a servant of Krishna in whatever position we're in. And move forward as a servant. I hope that's okay. But But this is really a good question to ask devotees who are very experienced in having to deal in the material world. Good question, practical question. Since Maharaj has not yet returned, we'll try one more here. This is a big paper, so it's probably a yes. It's a Dear Maharaj question. We'll give him that one. What was the reason for friendship between Lord Balaram and Duryodhana, who was an evil person? Thank you. So there's different levels to answer this question on. First is ultimately, this is Krishna's lila, it's his desire. It added extra rasa to the Mahabharata experience. It added some special spices that Balaram was close to Duryodhana. And for another example of it in that way, when Krishna, Arjuna became attracted to Subhadra, Krishna Balaram's sister. Who was her direct brother? Does anyone know? It was Krishna. Yeah. She was the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki. So Arjuna became attracted to her. It was actually Krishna's desire. And then when wanting to marry her, Arjuna during the rainy season, the Chaturmasya, when sadhus don't travel or didn't travel, Arjuna dressed himself up, disguised himself as a renunciant sadhu. The question was an interesting question.
I heard it.
Oh, okay. When Balaram saw this sadhu there, he invited him into his house, and one day on the last day of the month, when the Chaturmasi was going to end, he invited him to his meal to take up the same table as him, and Subhadra was serving him, and they were looking at each other, their eyes were like playing with each other. And then finally, Arjuna kidnapped her. He came out of his disguise and kidnapped Subhadra and was driving away on the chariot with her. And Balaram was furious because he has a tendency to have a hot temper. And he was furious. He had invited the sadhu to his house, and the sadhu had cheated him in that way by stealing away his younger sister. Balaram was furious. And when Balaram became angry, you wouldn't want to be on the other side of that anger. He was furious. So Krishna, and he was going to kill Arjuna, so Krishna he threw himself at the feet of Balaram and pointed and say, look who's driving the chariot with Arjuna on it. It's your younger sister, Subhadra. She's holding the reins and driving him. That means that she approves of it. So, my dear Balaram, please give up your anger. Give up your anger and accept him into our family in that way. So how could something like that happen? This is all rasa. It adds sweetness to the exchanges. It adds ecstasy to the exchanges. So when we think of what the spiritual world is like, we tend to think it is shantaras. We're just like this. Where life is very, very peaceful. Finally, some peace. But it isn't. And shantarasa is not accepted as a rasa specifically because there is no rasa in it. There is no churning of emotions. So this adds to the spices and to the mixtures of the different lila, because Balaram, we could speak more about Balaram and Duryodhana, but there's not time in this. But thank you. Interesting question.
Hare Krishna. You said, you talked very much about hearing. What does it mean to hear? How can I understand that I hear the holy name or that I do not hear? There are two types of hearing. One is hearing without attention, and the other is hearing with attention. We have an English word for hearing with attention. It's a little bit like listen. No? We say to someone, listen now, listen, listen. Don't just hear, everyone hears, even the lizards, the mosquitoes, the butterflies, the monkeys, the dogs. They hear the sound of what is going on in the tent, but they don't listen to it. They don't hear with attention. In the same way, in chanting the holy names, you can either hear or you can listen, and you have to make the choice which of the two it is. If you just hear the holy name, you are not necessarily paying attention, but if you listen to yourself chanting sincerely, it's an entirely different experience. There is a related question. In your lecture, you said that we have to listen to the holy name and that we have to pray, literally say the prayer. But how can we listen to the holy name with full attention if in our heart we are addressing the prayer? I feel that we can do one thing at a time, either listening carefully to each name or addressing the prayer. Thank you very much. This is a very important question, which is so related to the first one that I want to address it in the one question. This is a question which grows very much, which we get very often. How can I meditate, for instance, about the meaning of the holy name, please engage me in the service, and then chant? I can either do one thing or the other, not both at the same time. It's like I can either play a violin or I can nail a nail in the wall, but I can't do both. Even with the help of my feet, I cannot do both. So now I want to give a little answer, and I will challenge your earlier understanding in my answer. I will say something new, so I request that you don't just hear, but that you listen. My dear devotees, let us go back for just a second to our experience in Nandagram, the Teerkadamba. I saw one devotee, I will not mention his name, who was chanting, and he was hearing the chanting very much, but by the empty gaze of his eyes, I could see that he was not there. His eyes looked as if he had just received a bullet in the head and had gone. I could see this, so I took something before his eyes and went like this. And although he was chanting and hearing was going on, it took like 1 minute before he noticed something is dancing before my eyes. And then I looked to him and said, listen. For many of us, this experience is there when chanting. We are chanting the names Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We may even, due to some, health, a good health, when there is not so much vata, be able to listen to each name. But never forget, the mind has to be involved. We human beings have a mind which is always active, or which goes into a certain mood and gets stuck in that mood, a mental vibration, you could say, like a shoe may get stuck in mud for some time. So if we don't address the problem of an uncooperative mind when we do chanting, we will not really go deeper into our chanting experience. Now, therefore, the Goswamis have said, mantrata chintanam, as you chant, you must think about the meaning of the mantra. Now it is clear, if you have a complex meditation where you have to really concentrate all your mental faculties to be in that, you will most probably hear or lose some of the listening quality, of the hearing quality. But if you establish with your prayer and your mind a proper mental culture, a proper mental orientation, a proper mental background, you could say, your chanting will not just be mechanical, but it will become devotional. Devotion is a feeling. You need to chant with a devotional feeling. You're not a parrot who can just chant and chant. This has little benefit. The devotees had a cage of a parrot next to the door of the Sydney temple. And Prabhupada was once passing this parrot as he entered the Sydney temple. And the parrot had been trained to greet all those who entered the temple, and the parrot did not make an exception with Prabhupada. He went, when Prabhupada passed, Hare Krishna! Prabhupada wanted to know from where this came. And he looked at the, and he saw it was a parrot. And he laughed and laughed. It was a funny moment. Then, after some time, when Prabhupada was well into his lecture, he made mention of this. We should chant, but not like the parrot. Because at the time of the death, when the cat comes, the parrot, who only knows mechanic chanting, who knows chanting without listening, who just knows chanting without the mind being involved, the most important sense, he will think of something else to defend itself and so on. You have to bring Krishna into your mind. You have to chant. Therefore, this instruction is always given persistently. There's a prayer in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, my dear Lord, although I have completely forgotten you for so many long years here in the material world, please know that today I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. It is so clear it is there in the Shastras, but from experience, may I now say something any speaker who speaks something personal, but I want to speak now something very personal. If you would ask me today, Sachinandan Swami, you are so long time in our movement. Yes, I'm much, much longer in the movement than I was in the material world. Long time, for some of you, long time. What have you realized? What have you understood in relationship to chanting? Don't just repeat what you have read, that is certainly interesting, but not now. I want to know what you know. I know, my dear devotee, that chanting cannot be a bridge leading nowhere. Chanting must be a practice which is connected with Krishna. The chanting of the holy name must address our turning to Krishna. The chanting of the holy name must be Krishna conscious, not syllable conscious. It is a huge difference between the two. Yes, in the very beginning, where everyone is so simple and so bewildered from his long years of experience in material life, we make it simple. Just here. But do you know that all the philosophy which we have is only made so that you can remember Krishna, that you can think of Krishna, that you can be with Krishna? This is a bhakti movement. It's not a yogic movement. It's a personal movement. One person addresses another person. The conditioned soul prays to Krishna, please accept me. It is a conscious movement. It is not like a mechanical yoga exercise, although with yoga you also, if you want to have the full benefit, you need to be aware of where your prana is flowing as you do the exercises. It's spiritual. So this is a very, very, very wonderful question. I thank you a million times for answering this. So the prayers, how to pray. It's not that while you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh, how was that line of the prayer? How was that line of the prayer? No, you just, when it says, for instance, please free me from my obstacles to my nam japa. And please give me service to Radha Krishna. When it says like this, you go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and you will listen very nicely, and you have this mood. Please. It's just like now. I'm speaking to you. Do you know that I'm doing something else also? I'm thinking, how will they understand? How will I speak as a real person? How will it be that I don't sound arrogant as if I know better? How will I explain this point, which the devotees need to hear to go to the next stage? And my mind is there. In this exercise, in the second part, my mind was not there. I didn't even know what to say because I did not focus. I did not have an intention. I just brabbled some sounds. So it's very important that you bring your devotional attention. You should know while you chant. You sit down. You should understand, this is my chance. And there's that devotional feeling which is there will pervade your Naam Vrata. It will be there. Just like a person who speaks, who has a certain intention, This intention will pervade his speech. It's not that it makes him less attentive to what he says. It, in fact, makes him much, much more attentive for a much longer time to what he says. Hare Krishna. This was very much on my heart. Yesterday, I went a little around in Tirthakadamba. So many of us were, you could see, the mind was getting, was not focused. It looked like chewing gum between the ears. Not really there. But a prayer would help. A conscious awareness that I'm here at Rupa Goswami's place would help to have a very, very active chanting. Please forgive me, Hare Krishna. It is your part. I know.
This question begins a very a heartfelt question, a question from the heart. Sometimes I think about death, and when I think about death, I feel fear. I feel fearful. I fear that I will not have prema for Lord Krishna, and I will be lost somewhere in the universe after leaving my body. How can I not have this fear? It is very strong. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. It is a healthy fear. It is a healthy fear that will keep us using our life, our time, in a way that brings us closer to Krishna. Here's a song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Sharanagati that at least to some degree responds to this. O Lord Hari, because I forgot you, my tongue has been afflicted with the disease of ignorance. I cannot relish the nectar of your holy name, for I have been addicted to the taste of worldly pleasure. O Lord Hari, if I sing your holy name aloud every day with great respect, then as sugar candy taken medicinally destroys the very disease which makes it taste bitter, jaundice, so your holy name will cure my spiritual disease and allow me to gradually taste his sweetness. O merciful Lord, how great is my misfortune that I feel no appreciation for your holy name. In such a lamentable state, how will I be freed from committing the 10 offenses to the holy name? If I sing your holy name every day, by your mercy, the 10 offenses will gradually disappear. A taste for your holy name will grow within me, and then I will taste the intoxicating spirit of the name. So fear, getting lost in the unlimited ocean of material existence, is so healthy. I didn't hear Prabhupada say it directly, nor either in person or in a lecture, but we used to hear that Prabhupada had said that the problem of you young boys and girls, because at those days we were indeed young boys and girls, was that you do not fear Maya. And this is such a tendency for a conditioned soul who is practicing devotional service to want to touch the flames of Maya and just to flirt with it a little bit, not to, just a little bit of flirting here and there. There's such a tendency in that way, and to be afraid of becoming lost in the ocean of material existence, Prabhupada has said, is the greatest fear. This is a legitimate fear. So when one is fearful in any condition, either we have this type of a fear, or fear of being eaten by a tiger, or whatever, we should, the same cure is there, and that cure for the fear is to take very, very deep shelter of he whom fear itself fears, and that is Krishna. Death personified fears Krishna. So if we take shelter of Lord Hari, and if our shelter is deep, and if it is with full surrender, trying to serve him according to our capacity, according to our situation in life. Everyone cannot do the same thing. Everyone is in a different situation of life. But if we sincerely try our best in whatever situation we are in to serve Krishna, and then if we surrender to that service in that way, then go tripte varanam tata, then we have a right to feel that Krishna must protect me. Not only he will protect me, he must protect me because I am his. Because I've given myself to him. And I'm sincerely considering myself his, and I'm acting harmonious with that mood of being his in trying to serve him to the best of my capacity in whatever situation I am, then we should be confident that Krishna will protect us. And that confidence of Krishna's protection is a great jewel that's given to a sincere devotee who is trying to serve, because it is a jewel, not just automatically that we have confidence, but it's a jewel more that I've seen that Krishna's protected me in this situation, I've seen that Krishna's protected me in this situation, I've seen that Krishna's protected me. So therefore I can assume, and sometimes as I'm, not literally, but as I'm in a situation, Krishna's, not literally, but it's sort of taps me on the shoulder and lets me know that he's there. Especially, not only, but I know it's there with every person who's taken risks, like just going out on book distribution or preaching in difficult and dangerous places, or taking some risk on behalf of Krishna's service. Not only those kind of extreme type of services, but every devotee feels the tap of Krishna's hand on his shoulder, saying, "I'm here now. I'm protecting you. I'm here now, letting us know that he's always there with us, protecting us. Not whether aware of it or not aware of it, he's there." He's there. This is his promise. Kauntea pratijanihi name bhakti punashiti. So in the question of any relationship, and then we're talking about our relationship with Krishna, there can come a doubt, will the other person do his part or her part in the relationship? And usually our mind focuses on, is the other person doing what they're supposed to be? Will they take care of me? Will they fulfill their obligation? And this is the cause of the ruination of most relationships. So let us not worry whether Krishna is going to take care of us, but rather whether we're going to give ourselves to him. That's our duty. His duty is the taking care. His duty is to protect us. And our duty is to be devoted. Devoted, committed and devoted to his service. So we should keep our mind on our own part of the relationship. But your question was very, very sweet question, and I thank you for it. So if you give yourself to Krishna, the more you give yourself to him, the more confident you will be of his. And even if you make some mistake when it's time to leave this world, even if you're not perfect and you make a mistake, he will come, because he is Bhava Grahi Janardana. And we could mention, if we had time, so many examples of devotees who gave service to Srila Prabhupada when it was really needed. And then towards the end of their life, and even though they may have drifted away, or this problem or that problem, at the end Krishna grabbed them and brought them to his lotus feet, and they left this world in his embrace. They're embracing his lotus feet, and clearly he protects. The confidence in Krishna will remove the fear, but this fear is quite healthy. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your... I very much appreciated how you said most relationships are ruined by expectation that the other party does his part. I have heard this before from Urmila gave a lecture in Radhadesh, that we always want a person to be in a certain way, and when they are not, then we are upset with the person. And I don't know, when you said this, that we should do our part, let Krishna do his part. I mean, Krishna will let him decide what he wishes to do. Very nice you have spoken. Hare Krishna, could you please discuss other techniques of chanting and meditation? For instance, meditate on the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. I would like to introduce to you a very small technique, and that is not really the technique sounds so mechanical, but I remember in the old times when we had, when devotees had difficulties and heard about this to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said to them a very interesting way how to get rid of difficulties. He said, you go now to the deities and chant before the deities. That is, you look at the deities, Darshan, and you chant before the deities. And then he said, all your difficulties will go. Then this devotee, I had this tape. It's not in the tape ministry. I somehow kept this tape, and I heard it very regularly. And then the devotee said, but Prabhupada, then the temple commander might come, find me sitting before the deity and chanting, and will then, because there's so much service to be done, he will engage me. And then Prabhupada answered to this devotee, no, you should tell them that I said you should stand before the deities and do this. I remember that once Jagatarini Mataji discussed this when we were with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in Nayan Bhatta's place of Bhajan, and I think his samadhi is also there. She narrated how when Krishna and Balaram were installed in the Radha, in our temple in Vrindavan, the Prabhupada said, now all difficulties are taken care. When there are any difficulties, you go to the deities and pray for them, and they will solve. Now, in chanting, we shouldn't exactly just present Krishna difficulties. That would be not good. But we can chant and look at the deity, fix our gaze at the deities, and you will see your chanting gets more personal. And that's a very nice technique which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions also in his Harinam Chintamani. You sit before the deity and you look at the form of Krishna. And in this way, there's the name and there is the form of Krishna already. That will be very good for your chanting meditation. Mm-hmm. All right. I think we have a little bit more time. It's 10 minutes to 12. Maybe we go up till 12 o'clock. Is that good? Please.
This is a very interesting question because it's quite different from the usual question that a devotee would ask. Because usually one asks the question, what happens if you go to Krishna and you pray to him, but you don't get any response? But this devotee asks, what to do when Krishna replies to your prayer, but you're not ready to accept it and feel no happiness? Such a problem. And I assume the devotee means something more subtle than you pray to Krishna for $1 million and then he gives you $1 million and you say, I'm too busy to take it right now. There's probably something more subtle. And when there's questions, sometimes devotees will ask a general question, but they have something very specific in their mind. So it's hard to answer that kind of a question because, in other than a general way, and it's probably best if the devotee who had this should go to a very trusted devotee and explain what they specifically mean in more detail and ask that the devotee who knows them how they should deal with the particular circumstance. But I'll see if I can answer what to do when Krishna replies to our prayer, but we're not ready to accept it and feel no happiness. One answer that Prabhupada gave, not to this question, but a similar question, or in Melbourne, and perhaps in 1975, he commented that unless one is ready to accept the answer of a sadhu to a question, unless one's ready to accept it from an authoritative position, then one should not ask the question. So what to do when Krishna replies to our prayer? So we've asked Krishna for an answer or something, but we're not ready to accept it and feel no happiness because of that. Go and stand in front of the deities, as Maharaj suggested, and tell him your problem. And actually, I've mentioned this quite a few times before, but it's very applicable, and Maharaj just mentioned it, that she heard Jagatuni Mataji say it in Uchagan. But if there's a problem you can't solve, Prabhupada said, you take it to Lord Balaram.
Oh, yeah.
So we've set up in Vrindavan the Lord Balaram counseling services. So we just send people to Lord Balaram all the time. And we have a specific way we send them. And we say, Krishna Balaram Mandir is so crowded that it's hard to get a position on the rail. So you have to learn something from the locals and use your elbows a little bit sometimes. And you claim your position on the rail in front of Lord Balaram. And then you have to speak to Balaram. You have to tell him everything. And he understands every language, so don't worry about what language you're speaking, but tell him everything. But the one qualification is that you have to be honest, completely honest. And then what we say is just stay there. Stay there until you're satisfied. So one time, and this is when I really just started understanding the potency of Lord Balaram in this process. One time, many years ago, in the in the 80s, 1983 or 4 or 5, probably 1985, some devotees from Iran, some of the first devotees from Iran had come. One devotee was preaching there, and this was even during the time of the Shah. This was quite a long time ago. But he had been preaching in Iran, and he brought a group of devotees. And I ended up speaking to them, and he was translating. And then they all left, except one Mataji, who couldn't speak any English, and a translator. She told me, I don't know what to do, to a translator. I was born in a Muslim family, and I can't relate to deities. When I see the deities, because in Islam they don't like the spiritual technology of deities, tending towards the formless. So she said, because I'm born in that family and I have that type of conditioning, I can't relate to deities. What should I do? So I pulled out all my Shastric knowledge on deities, and I preached to her about the Lord's form and how could we have something that the Lord doesn't have, and it's all His energy and for Him to transform spirit to matter. Blah, 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 blah. So after about 15 minutes, I saw that she was completely untouched, unmoved, unconvinced, because she was dealing with this very deep conditioning. So then I remembered what Prabhupada said. If you have a problem that you can't solve, take it to Lord Balaram. So I told her, you go to Lord Balaram. And I explained how to use elbows. And you get your position on the rail. And when you tell, he speaks perfect Farsi, don't worry. You tell him everything. You tell him you're born in a Muslim family and you can't believe in deities. You can't tell him everything. You tell him everything about your life. And you just go to Lord Balaram and tell him everything. So then she said, okay. Being simple-hearted and pious, she went. And then I did something else. And then about 45 minutes later, she came back with the translator. And she said, now I believe. And I have no idea what happened down between her and Balaram. So, what to do when Krishna replies to your prayer, but you are not ready to accept it, and you feel no happiness? You please take it to Lord Balaram. Giriraj is also very, yes, very, very kind-hearted.
Thank you very much, yes. What Burijan Prabhu explained really works. I know in relationship to Giriraj, and I will now try with Balaram. Lord Chaitanya brought a very easy method, but for me it is not easy at all. Years go by, but I can't break through. You stand on the same place with your mind. I almost despair. Where should I take faith, strength, or enthusiasm? I want to quote one verse from Srila Ramanuja Acharya. He says, when all other methods of spiritual sadhana have failed, when everything what you know you can do in your spiritual life is exhausted, there's one thing which always works, and that is go into the association of devotees. And just stay there. And then answers will come, and where was emptiness, fullness will be there. So this is an answer to this question. When you feel stuck, when you feel you can't break through, and you feel you're still on the same
place as you were before, please go into the association of good-hearted devotees and go in a devotional context. That means when there is something devotional, kirtan, lectures, or when you discuss about devotional or spiritual things, and you will see it always works. So I thank you very, very much for participating in this question and answer session. I know that there are still many questions in the pot, and I regret that it's not always possible to answer them in a direct way, means like we do now, read the question, answer, and try to give a satisfying answer. But you know, sometimes the questions are more important than the answers. What I would like to say with this is, when we become aware that there is something we should clarify, and when we in this way leave the area of our life where we are unconscious, then very quickly something will start to move in our life. So just to have a question is already a sign of spiritual awakening. What Bhujan Prabhu and me will do, I have not discussed with Bhujan Prabhu, but what I will do is I will just pray to Giri Raj, who can arrange the impossible, that all your questions will be answered in your heart. I will, or to Lord Balaram, I will try, add now Lord Balaram, and then it might work. I thank you very much. Now we will go to the almost last point of our retreat. We will have two more items. The closing or turning to Giri Raj is the last, but we have to share some very, very good news. I think those of us who, those of you who have visited previous Govardhana retreats, or those who have listened to the recordings of the previous Govardhana retreats, know that since a long time, we from the staff, that is the teachers, but also Prashanta and her many helpers, have the desire to serve you with an own retreat center, where the facilities may be a little bit more appropriate to you and not as austere as the Balkrishna can, ashram can be. So we are, we want to do this. Bhurijan Prabhu wrote me very early in, when we started, maybe after the third or second Govardhana Retreat Center, very nicely his own commitment or his own conviction of giving these retreats, a conviction which I entirely share. He said, Maharaj, you will see, we need to give the devotees good and deep Krishna conscious experiences. And the best place to doing this is in the holy dham by the side of Giri Raj. And yes, this is certainly true. We all need to be immersed and absorbed more and more. So in with this Govardhana retreats, we tried in our own humble way to serve you in this, but we feel we have we always felt that we have a retreat center, we can take care that the Indian factor, you know, Indian bathrooms, Indian kitchens, Indian this and that, can be decimated or reduced a little bit, and you can focus in a more undisturbed way on your journey, your own personal journey in Krishna consciousness during these retreats. We have discussed about this many times in other years, but now something wonderful
has happened. We are just about ready to start building the first building by the elements. Lakshmi came together, and now we are. This is a good news which we wanted to break to you on the last day of the this Govardhan retreat. We thought to invite Yamunacharya. I think you give the presentation, is this true? To come forward and show you a little bit what are the developments on the computer. And then I would like to encourage you all a little. Yes. Would you like the microphone?
Speak slow.
I can just hold it.
Do you want to tell you one thing? Speak slowly. Speak slowly.
This is a picture from, I think, the first or second Govardhan retreat. It was right at the site of Govardhan, and we outgrew that, and it's very clear that we've outgrown Balakrishna Bhavan here. So, not far from the place where we used to hold the retreats, we have a block of land. Unfortunately, the light is such that it will be very hard for you to see that. This is taken from the roof of a building on the Parikrama road. So, behind this photograph, Giriraj is about 100 metres, and there's the land outlined in red. It's about 1.5 hectares, and for those close enough to the screen to be able to see it, it's in a very rural setting. Right now, it's a very peaceful place.
How, please say what hectares translated that into.
It's about 1.5 hectares, which I think...
5 acres?
5 or 6 acres.
Which is quite large. How many bigas is that? Anyone translates into Indian bigas? Only Subal can do that.
I should know, but I forget the conversions. But it's reasonably large. It's something like 100 metres by 140 metres dimensions.
It's bigger than the MVT.
So where we've got to with this is that we have a master plan, and this is it. So the Parikrama Road is out here. We've got a little side road that gives us access to the land, and the entrance will be here with the administration buildings and some classrooms, the Kirtan Hall here, the accommodation buildings in the back, Prasadam Hall, kitchen, services, etc. in there. So we've got that far with that, and we've progressed the design of the first building. So this will be, in the long term, this will be all accommodation. These will be rooms for twin beds, but large enough to squeeze in a mattress for a third where necessary, with attached bathrooms. And the intention is to have the bathrooms with real quality fittings so that we from the West can actually survive them with some ease. In the short term, the ground floor will be a series of larger rooms, so there'll be a Kirtan Hall which will be big enough for 100 people or so, not big enough for this group, but for some of the smaller retreats. There will be a kitchen and Prasadam Hall, there'll be a resting room for women and another one for men, because initially we won't be able to accommodate everyone on site. Long term, this is our hope, but short term, we will have to be accommodated in other ashrams nearby. So we're going to provide a room there so that people can take rest during the day as needed. So initially the bottom floor will be that sort of facility, some accommodation on the upper floors, and long term when the other buildings are there, then the whole thing will become accommodation. So that's building number one, which we're working on right now. As you can see, the plans are well advanced, and hopefully we'll be moving into construction in the near future. So that's just a little glimpse of where we are currently. The light is going, the shade is coming to assist you a little bit.
Sorry, this is just for the presentation, right? This is a very good idea. Afterwards, yes, very good.
Let me tell you, perhaps you can also show where this is in relationship to the whole plan.
So this building is L-shaped, and there we go. It's this building here in the back corner. So this is the southwest in terms of the Vastu. This is where we need the weight. So we start in the back corner and we'll progress forward. The next structure will be the kitchen and the Kirtan Hall to give us facilities so that we can start using the facility even if we don't have full accommodation. So that's all I have to present, just a little glimpse, but just to demonstrate that we are actually working on it, and hopefully we'll materialise it with bricks and mortar in the near future. Hare Krishna.
Let me just... I'll see. I was going to mention that when I was speaking to Vrindavan Banu Prabhu, who's sitting over here, who's a very essential part of our team, and actually it's so amazing that Krishna has assembled such a nice group of devotees to construct this. But anyway, I said that. He said that why shouldn't we have it there next year? That was his hope and his desire, and he said it right in front of Giriraj. So, so we should all pray that his desire becomes actually manifested by the mercy of Giriraj Govardhan. Because right from the very beginning, when we conceived of this with Subal Prabhu, myself, Sachinandan Raj, and the other devotees in Yamunacharya, right from the very beginning, we never thought of this as our retreat center and this is my place or anything like that. There were two basic thoughts. One was this was to give nourishment to the followers of Srila Prabhupada. That was our main thought, a place where they can actually gain some nourishment from so close to Giriraj, but free from different bands and things like that. It's 100 meters, which isn't that far from the Parikrama Marg, but it's 1 meter, 1 kilometer from here to Govardhan town. From Jatipur to Govardhan town is 3 kilometers, so it's one third of the way. One kilometer from Jatipura to the land, which means we don't get the sounds of Jatipura, we don't get the sounds of Govardhan, which are quite extreme. I was staying near Govardhan on the other side during Kartik, and the sounds become very, very, very loud between the weddings and the katars that are going on, and for some reason the people really like loudspeakers, and it becomes, as Satsananda Maharaj always says, loud speakers are the
truth speakers. Who's
loudest is more truthful. But the idea is this is the curse upon sadhus who are trying to do bhajan. It makes it almost impossible when there's loud speakers really blaring. But we're just enough from the Parikrama Marg and far enough from Jatipur and far enough from Govardhan that it's very, very, very quiet and peaceful there. So our desire, and as Krishna Balaram Mandir becomes more and more and more and more popular, and as Vrindavan becomes more and more and more and more popular, there's so much going on at Krishna Balaram, and sometimes it's taking me 3 hours to walk from the temple to my the 100 meters to where I stay. And you meet one nice devotee after another nice devotee, another nice devotee, another nice devotee. So this is a place where we're hoping that individual can take very deep and personal retreats and small groups, 50 devotees. I have a dream that we could, that devotees from Iran, from China, from Delhi, different groups. We can have so many different retreats for different devotees, and it can be in their language, and just so that they can experience hearing Krishna Katha, chanting Krishna's names in the soothing association of Giriraj Govardhan. So when we thought about who is this retreat for, who are we dedicating it to, it was clear to me that usually when you do a project and you're a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, or you write a book or something like that, you dedicate it to Srila Prabhupada. But in my mind, this is dedicated to the followers of Srila Prabhupada, generations and generations and generations of followers of Srila Prabhupada. May they get much nourishment by hearing and chanting. And because in the association of Giriraj and the dust of Vrindavan, because this is the place to gain the nourishment that we're all longing for, the nourishment that makes our Krishna consciousness grow and blossom, that gives us the faith, that gives us the confidence, the determination, the patience, shastrically experiential. So this is our they're just 2 minutes late. We were calling them. Sachinanda Maharaj has this ability to like call them just on time. Sometimes parrots, sometimes marriage bands. It depends what butterflies even. The butterfly came to an hour early, but so anyway, that's what I would like to say about the Govardhan Retreat Center. This is, we would like to leave this as a legacy to all the followers of Srila Prabhupada.
I thank you very much for sharing with us your own commitment or your own vision. I would also like to say that my own vision and conviction is that with preaching we are really contacting so many people, really so many. Our movement is very well organized to do this. It is admirable, really, amongst all the Chaitanya movements. Prabhupada's Shakti still works and contacts many people. But this rare gift of our tradition, that is the love and the service of a personal God, Braj Bhakti, in order to really understand it, you do need to have some connection to Vrindavan, either by coming here, that's of course the best, sitting in places like Ter Kadamba and walking the cowherd trail led by a cow back to Nandagram. You need to have these udipans, these impulses which stimulate your thought in such a way, or at least there needs to be such a place which is dedicated to this, and then people, devotees who are interested can hear the recordings and so on. So I very much feel honored to help in this effort, and I want to say, closing this part, that now where we can go ahead building it, we are also, let me say, ready for your help, your kind donations, and your helping us to build it, because Jan Prabhu and myself, we were, I think, born in affluent families, but we left everything and became street beggars. It's a wonderful position. We are humbly stretching our hands out, and if you have some ideas or even personally some Lakshmi, now is a good time to think about investing it there. We have very good and safe arrangements to put it in a bank for this, and everything is very safe. We have gone very carefully and not too hastily. We wanted to make a safe arrangement that your donations will definitely build the place, and that we won't stand before a field and then the farmer says, "This is my field, I cheated you when I sold it to you." So that is all very nicely. With the help of Vrindavan, Vinod, Braj Bihari, and so many wonderful devotees. But at
Vrindavan Vasi too.
Vrindavan Vasi, the Govardhan lover. I saw, yes. Maybe we should just, the devotees should just, if they don't mind, if the other devotees can just see you, that you know, that they know there are some real persons with that. This is, I see, Vrindavan Vinod, you see the very intelligent effulgent Vaishnava. And there is another here, Vrindavan Vasi. Oh, he will be, this is Vrindavan Vasi. He is a real Vrindavan Vasi. He's there. I will not inconvenience him by asking him to stand up, because he is very humble Vaishnav. He would die. And so on. And of course, our Yamunacharya, very, very talented engineer. I think that's what you do in New Zealand as a profession, to maintain your family and the ever ready Hari Kirtan, his wife, who is supporting this. And what would we do without Subal Saka, who is at the moment not here? He must be serving somewhere. And Prashanta, who is here, will make a closing thing. So there is, and many others. There are many devotees behind it. A good team. And oh, I forgot Raghava Pandit, who builds temples like anything. A disciple of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, who specifically, I would say, empowered, we have to say like this, to build these wonderful temples. I think he has 40 building projects in 1 year, and he is behind it. He has good experience for building and is very committed. Yeah. So
let me just put in one comment here about Raghava Pandit. We had a few pieces of land, but then we got one more piece of land, a big piece that really was exactly what we needed. And then we were in front of Giriraj, actually, perhaps very close to here. And then I thought, oh no, now we're going to actually have to build something. And I understood that I have no capacity to do this. I don't have any capacity. So I prayed to Giriraj, and I said, Giriraj, would you mind building this retreat center? Within a half hour, Raghava Pandit Prabhu, he said, "Don't worry, I'll build it." And Raghava Pandit Prabhu, he's an empowered person. I mean, the things that he's done in Delhi, and this is, he's done the impossible before breakfast 3 times. So he's promised us. He said, "Don't worry." He said to Satchinanda Maharaj, myself, "Don't worry, because we're in anxiety because we don't know how to do these things." He said, "Don't worry, we will build your retreat center. But if you'll help, that would also help."
Good, wonderful. Thank you. So you can contact us. There was this very nice webpage at the end, www. It's there, Govardhan Center. .com. Please make a note of this. There is information. This web page was. Is it this center? Is it another web page, or is it this the same which we do? Is the same one?
Sanam, is this the correct address? Let's see here.
No.
Yeah.
It's the one with Gopinath. You are. That's that one. Yeah, it was not so active the last year because we really waited for this moment to happen when we are really ready. The nice prayers are there. It helps you to stay connected with us. Here you see something and good informations. So please, and also how you can support. Huh? Please make a note of this, and even if I remember yesterday Rishikesh Baba said, you know, this Mahant or this priest of Tir Kadamba, he said, little drops make one ocean. He said like this. Of course, the bigger the drops are, the quicker the ocean is filled, but well, there's many nice things out there you may enjoy. Fine, then we have said this. Now we want to close everything completely. We will pray to Giriraj. Maybe you would like to say it to us, tune us in, and then I will sing. Is that good? May I? Yeah. 8 minutes.
But could you, is Gohari Prabhu here? You asked. So everyone, if you could just put your attention towards Giriraj, and it may help to face your body to Giriraj. And he's very kind. His pleasure is serving Krishna in the form of a servant of those who are serving Krishna. Paniya suyavasa kandara kandare. So he is very, very kind, and he is very, very beautiful. So if we could just think about Giriraj, and so many different ideas and thoughts and hopes and even sadnesses and perhaps lamentations even have come to our heart as we've chanted the Maha Mantra and heard about the process of chanting. So many different wonderful things have come to our heart. And if we could just now personally, individually, take everything to Giriraj. Spiritual aspirations, that which we would like to remove from our heart, that which we would like to accept into our heart. Please take it to Giriraj. To long for service according to the depth of our Krishna consciousness. It's wonderful. to lament our lacks, inabilities, is also wonderful. To pray sincerely, to chant Krishna's holy names in front of Giriraj Govardhan is wonderful.